And the same to the fellow members and friends of our congregation here today. It's been a kind of a crazy 2 years, hasn't it? We've done a lot of Zoom conferencing, which I absolutely hate. But it was a way to get through the confirmation time. But that's not really what I want to drive at today, is our experience in confirmation. But to draw our attention to John's Gospel, the third appearance of Jesus with his disciples, and see what kind of conclusions we can draw from this lesson. It's the third Sunday of Easter. So what? You know, it's funny when a season starts. Easter, of course, is a great celebration day, but even by the second and the third Sunday of Easter, things begin to dwindle emotionally. People aren't quite as charged. We see that during the season of Pentecost, which is much longer, where you have the time when the Holy Spirit descended upon this church and sent them out in their mission to take the gospel into the world. And then you get to about the 25th Sunday of Pentecost, and you're just going, will this season ever end? The day of the resurrection has passed. Jesus did appear on the night that he rose from the grave to the disciples. However, you might remember that was the time when Thomas was not there, just to recap the season. Last week, you talked about Thomas being in the company of the disciples when Jesus appeared to them. And you remember Thomas saying, unless I put my see the nail prints in his hands and place my hand in his side, I will not believe. But Jesus appeared again and told him, Thomas, put your hands in the nail marks. Put your hand in my side. And Thomas's great exclamation, my Lord and my God. What an absolutely beautiful Sunday. You know, for me, it doesn't get less exciting. It's just that what happens in the third Sunday, we don't know exactly what time frame has passed. We just know that Jesus appeared 8 days later after the resurrection. That was his second appearance. And then there's this period of time that's not mentioned. John doesn't give us any details. And I was wondering if the disciples weren't getting a little bit tired of waiting around. That's one of the things we do as American Christians especially. It's hard for us to wait. We want things to happen. We want them to happen all the time. We love the celebration. We're not so good at waiting. So Peter, on this particular day, there's apparently seven of the disciples altogether, and he says, I'm going fishing. John doesn't tell us why. You know, is he frustrated because he hasn't seen the Lord in a while? You don't really know what's going on in his mind or in the other disciples who say, I'm game, let's go. Let's go do some fishing. Well, as you heard the scriptures say, they went out fishing all night and caught nothing. I get the feeling that the adrenaline rush of Easter was over. Without Jesus, nothing's happening. Well, it's daybreak. They're about 100 yards away from the shore. And some guy yells at them, have you caught anything? And they yell back dejectedly, no. This same guy from the shore yells back at again, cast your net on the right side of the boat. Now, I don't know about you. I guess I'll tell you something about my character. When somebody tells me to do something opposite of what I've just been doing, I'm going to go, what does this guy know? But after a night of total emptiness, empty nets, they decide, oh, what the heck, let's pull the empty net in, let's cast it onto the right side and see what happens. Well, you know, fish, yowza, lots of fish. So many fish, they couldn't get it into the boat. I think literally they had to drag the net in to the shore because it was just too many fish for them to bring onto the boat. And I love this in John's Gospels. You might notice this. Sometimes he refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. John has such a humble attitude about himself. He never wants to refer to himself by name, but he always gives him the description of the one Jesus loved. And I think that's a beautiful description, that we should all feel this way. We are all disciples whom Jesus loves. And it's John who cries out, remember, it's daybreak, 100 yards away. Do you really recognize anybody? It's the Lord. And then impetuous Peter grabs his outer garment, puts it on, jumps into the water. He's not waiting for Jesus to invite him or say, hey, walk on the water. Uh-uh. He's just in the water, and he's fish, you know, he's going as fast as he can. The others follow behind, dragging the net behind them. And a surprise happens. When they get to the shoreline, there's a fish fry going on. And Jesus says, hey, guys, bring some of the fish that you've caught. Peter runs out to the boat and brings in 153 fish. That's quite, it must have taken him a while to gather up that many fish, unless somebody helped him, it doesn't say. But Jesus invites them, saying, come, have some breakfast. Still a bit in shock, they're looking at each other and say, who is this? Well, you ask him. No, you ask him. You know, I can just imagine this conversation between them. You know, but no one dares to ask him if it's the Lord, because they know. They know, and yet they don't know. There's kind of this belief, unbelief, that they're just overwhelmed with the whole event. I'd love to have been a part of that conversation, just to hear how it went back and forth between the disciples. Well, the fish fry with Jesus gets recorded, and that's all good, but there's more. This meal, while for all the disciples there, was specifically for Peter. God had a special message for Peter. But it happens to also be for us as well. So it's after they've sat down and filled their stomachs with fish and bread. Obviously, there's got to be a reminder of that past Thursday night when they celebrated the Passover meal together, where Jesus presented his body and his blood in the bread and in the wine for the forgiveness of their sins. But I'm sure Peter had some other feelings going on inside him as well. And after breakfast, Jesus turns to Peter and he says, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And Peter says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He asks him again, Peter, son of John, do you love me? Peter says, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Jesus asked a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And John reports that Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, do you love me? Simon's response in that moment of grief was, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said again, feed my sheep. Do you think Peter was grieved because Jesus had to ask him three times whether he loved him? Or because it reminded him of his three-time denial on Good Friday when Jesus was arrested? You know, I've tried really hard to think, you know, what would I have said, you know, if I had been the Lord? Of course, I'm not. But if I had been Jesus, what would I have said to Peter? Peter, come on. You are supposed to be the rock. Remember when I called you Cephas? You remember when you were walking on the water with me? You should be ashamed of yourself. You denied me because a servant girl recognized you as one of my disciples? Why didn't you stand up for me? In my human condition, that would have been really easy for me to just, come on, Peter, you know, you're better than this. But obviously, I'm not Jesus. Thank God. No, Jesus didn't even go there, which has got to be a shock to all of us. He knew Peter loved him. He knew Peter was weak, just like all of us. But by telling Peter each time when he said, "Do you love me?" and receiving Peter's answer, he'd say, "Feed my sheep, tend my sheep, feed my sheep." He was restoring him to the very ministry he had called him to in the first place. There wasn't any need of forgiveness because Jesus had already gone to the cross and canceled out Peter's sin and our sin for time and eternity. In Jesus' eyes, it's all done. Jesus still recognized that Peter was a weak human being, just like us. And he knew what Peter needed was not chastisement, but forgiveness. And that's exactly what Jesus did, by not even raising the issue. The fish fry was just a means to remind Peter that he had come into the world to redeem it, to save us from our sins. The side of forgiveness at that fish fry actually became the main course. That was the real reason why Jesus met them on the shore. Jesus was telling Peter, "I called you Cephas, the rock, and that is who you are. And you, Peter, you will use your gift of strength, and I give you the strength that I give you to lead the church and to feed my sheep." Dear sisters in Christ, this is a message not just for you, but for them as well, our whole congregation, those here today. God has gifted you with abilities, and I've seen it in every one of you. You are amazing young women, and God will use you in amazing ways in his church. I often like to say I'm prophetic, but it's amazing how many times you speak the word to people, and they accomplish the things that God has put in their hearts, and I know you will do the same. He will gift you to serve him. Now the question is, will you be a perfect servant? I don't think so. I'm certainly not, and neither are the folks gathered here today. None of us are perfect. And that's why Jesus came into our world, to forgive our sins and to set us on a new path with him. With him being present with us forever. And I know you guys are going to bring this up in your lessons. I took a little bit more than 3 minutes. I'm sorry. I only gave them 3 minutes. I'm trying to hold mine down too. But God wants you to have all the confidence in the world and all the assurance. You know, and when someone comes to you and says, you know, "How come this? You know, shouldn't you be ashamed? Shouldn't you feel guilty?" You need to point them to Jesus and say, "This is my Redeemer. This is the person that gives me full assurance and confidence in this life. Yes, though I'm a sinful human being and very weak in many ways, God has already forgiven me, and he is with me. And even in my weakness, he will show strength, his strength." So my prayer for you is just that you will take that assurance and confidence every time you come to the Lord's table and receive his body and blood. He is filling you with himself, and he is asking you to take him out into the world and to serve his people. May God give you that faith and strength and courage and assurance throughout your life until Jesus comes in great glory to bring us home. Amen.